Oh, you are so dead. You are so dead. You are so dead, so dead, so dead that you cannot even move. You're so dead that even the bench that you're sitting on, you're not warming it. You are so dead that you cannot worship. You are so, but so dead that we already done arrangements for your funeral. You are so, so, so dead that we already have your tomb picked. You are so, so dead that you start stinking already. And you're stinking so bad because you're being in the tomb so dead for 4 days. That was the people telling Lazarus what he was. You thought I was talking about you? You know, Lazarus was so dead. And Mary and Martha were devastated. Mary and Martha were, I don't know if they were angry, but some kind of emotions were inside of them. Because if you open your Bible in John chapter 11, you're going to find this awesome story about Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and Jesus. And here is, the story starts way beyond Lazarus get sick. Why? Because Jesus liked to hang out with Mary and Martha's. He would love to be there all the time. It was like an oasis for him. There was nothing better than going to Bethany, to Martha, Lazarus, and Mary's home. It was good. It felt good. He could rest out of the crowd. He will have a good meal, good attention. And his heart was hooked into Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home. He loved them. So when Lazarus started getting sick, Martha and Mary knew for a fact that if they would call Jesus, what was going to happen? What was going to happen? What was going to happen? No, that he will come. Right? If you're a good friend, you know what happened with this friend? You feed him. He's there with you all the time. He likes to hang out at your house. And now the guy that he loves is about to die. When you call them, what happens? He will come. At least that is what you're expecting, right? What do you expect when you're in the hospital and you call the pastor? Pastor, I am sick. What do you expect? For him to show up 3 days later? No, you're expecting for the pastor to show up that afternoon or a few hours after you called him. What about if the pastor shows up when at your home when you're out of the hospital? You're a bad pastor. Of course you're a bad pastor. Because it's not supposed to happen that way. So this man, this Jesus loved, was having problems. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now was laid sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So, Martha and Mary is the same prostitute that went to Jesus Christ and cleaned up his feet and cry over him and anoint him for his death. That's the same Martha that had, the same Mary that has seven demons inside of her. The same one. So you would say that after doing this awesome miracle in the life of Mary, and now Lazarus is sick, Mary and Martha send for Jesus. What Mary and Martha were expecting? Abraham, what they were expecting? What do you think they were expecting? For him to be healed? At least for him to show up. Right? Because he was their pastor. To be healed was gonna be a normal consequences of Jesus showing up. Did they know that? Did they know that? Yes or no? They went around with Jesus. As soon as Jesus showed up, what happened with the sick in that town? What happened with the sick? Completely healed. Every single one. Ellen G. White in The Desires of Ages tells us that there was places that he will go in and the whole village will be cleaned up with no sickness at all. No demon possessions, anything. Just completely, just for him to enter into that town. Completely healed, the whole town. So they knew that if Jesus Christ only will cross, only will get into Bethany, what would happen to Lazarus? He will be sick. He will be completely healed from his sickness. Oh, every single bad thing that was inside of him was going to be taken out, and he was going to get up, and he was going to worship God. So Jesus gets the information. If you go down, Jesus answered, in verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he went immediately to Bethany. That's what the Bible says. Right? No? Am I wrong? Or you're not reading your Bible? Oh, I'm wrong. Yes, of course I'm wrong. Because the Bible says here that yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick. And check the verse before. The verse before said, Jesus, number 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So what would you do if you love somebody? Oh, you just kick around in Judah for 2 days until something happens to Lazarus, and then you go to them. Right? I don't know what was Jesus thinking, but check this out. 6. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Doesn't that sound odd to you? Jesus hanged around Lazarus and Martha and Mary's all the time. He took Mary and healed her 7 times. He accepted Mary's anointing. And he said to the others, don't bother her. Don't bother her. She's doing a good thing. And then, at the moment where Lazarus is about to die, he's so sick that he's about to die, he's being called. He loved them, verse 5 says. And then on verse 7, he says, but when he heard about Lazarus, he said, I'm going to stay here for 2 days. Do you get it? Why? Why would Jesus, that loved Lazarus so much, instead of going right away to heal him, to recover him, to slash him out of death, why he would stay another 2 days? Any answer? Frank. He wanted to make sure that Lazarus was dead. Well, that's a way to love somebody, right? Okay, you know, I'm going to go and visit you while you're dead. Don't ask me to visit you when you're alive, because what for? I better go with you when you're dead. It doesn't make sense, but that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Did Jesus knew his power? Did he knew what kind of power he had? What did he knew if he stepped into Lazarus' room? What would happen? Heal. Just like that. Heal just like that. Because the holy presence of Jesus will just push away the enemy, push away sickness, push away Satan, just like that. Where there is light, there is no darkness. So the moment that Jesus would step into that room, then sickness was gone. And he knew that. So that's why he waited. Because every single thing that Jesus does has an awesome divine purpose in your life. Do you understand what God does? Do you? I don't. I have no idea what he's doing. And sometimes I do. But sometimes when my heart is crying, when I am down on my knees, down on my face, and I'm crying, God, please, this is something that is good for me, or is good for the church, or is good for this person. I am just crying, and I'm right there on the floor. And what happened? Nothing happens. What do you do? You do exactly what Mary and Martha did. Jesus looked at his watch. 2 days had passed. He looked into his disciples and what he said. Like Frank says, okay, Lazarus is dead. Let's go. And what did Lazarus, what happened with Lazarus? Was he actually dead? Well, actually, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, okay, 2 days has passed. Let's go wake up Lazarus. Oh, and so the spirit of the disciples was happy because, he's not dead. Oh, he's going to wake him up. And then, you know, the disciples are so happy because, he's going to go heal him. And then, no. Hold on. When I'm talking about going to wake him up, I'm telling you that he's dead and I'm going to do wake him up. I think that was a kind of confusing for the disciples. He's asleep, but he's not asleep. He's dead, but he's going to wake him up. What is he talking about? But Philip, one of the disciples, said, you know what? They're looking for him near Jerusalem to kill him. So just let's go with him and die with him. You know, completely, they were off. Completely off. So Jesus shows up. Shows up in the presence of, in the presence right there in Bethany, he goes into the door and he sends a disciple into Mary's house and tell them, come out, because I'm here. What was the first thing that Martha told Jesus when she saw him? Anybody? If you would have been here, my brother would have not died. You see what Martha is doing? Is she mad? Maybe she's a little bit mad. Did her faith fail on Jesus Christ? No, it didn't. Because she knew for a fact that if Jesus would have walked 4 days before, what would have happened with Lazarus? He would have been cured. So her faith was intact. The only thing that she was telling Jesus, how come if you loved us so much, how come you didn't show up? He's been dead for 4 days. Where were you? You know, if you make the math, when he got the message, what happened with Lazarus? Lazarus was dead already 2 days. Because Martha said, he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus showed up after 2. So what happened? What happened with the other 2 days? So that means when he got the message, Lazarus was what? Lazarus was dead. So not only Jesus was waiting for Lazarus to be dead, he was waiting for Lazarus to be stinking. So nobody would have a doubt that he's been dead. Dead, completely dead. So dead that he was thinking. So he shows up and tells, call your sister. So, hey Mary. Sorry. Hey Mary. Jesus is out there. He wants to see you. So Mary's running. And what did Mary say? Mary's faith failed on Jesus too? What did she say? She said exactly the same thing as Martha said. If you would have been here, my brother would have not died. So her faith in Jesus was exactly the same as her sister's. I know. But then, what did Jesus say? What was Jesus' answer to them? What was it? Didn't I tell you? Verse 25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whosoever believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ. That is interesting. They knew who Jesus Christ was. He said, you are the Christ. Not only the Christ, just not any Christ. The Christ that is the Son of God, who was to come into the world. What was the problem with that answer of Mary's and Martha? What was the problem with that? Yeah, we know. We know that Lazarus is going to be resurrected. When? When? At the resurrection. There was a problem with that statement? Is that a lie? Was that a lie? No, it's true. Because Paul says that if you die, but you die in Christ, what happens? You're a new creature. And that at the resurrection time, all the saints are going to be what? Are going to be lifted up. So were they right? Yeah, they were right. But at the same time, they were wrong. Because what was the preaching of Jesus Christ when he showed up in this earth? What did he say? The kingdom, what was Jenny? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? What does that mean for them at that time? A lot of people, oh yeah, for a long time, you know, I've been Seventh-day Adventist all my life, even before I was born. Right? So I'm 42 and 9 months, Seventh-day Adventist. And since I was born, I heard that the kingdom of heaven is what? The kingdom of heaven is the second coming of Jesus Christ. No, it's not. It's not. The second coming of Christ is the second coming of Christ. That's all what it is. But the kingdom of heaven is wherever Jesus or the Holy Spirit of God shows up. That's the kingdom of heaven. And 30 years ago, Jesus was born into that earth. Into that earth in the time of Mary and Lazarus and Martha. That was the kingdom of heaven. And he was preaching that all along. This is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know why? Because people could go and grab the kingdom of heaven. The people, what would happen when people would grab into the kingdom of heaven? What would happen? Demons were out. Sickness was out. Guilt was out. Sin was out. Why? Because the impersonation of the second coming of Christ, the impersonation of the kingdom of heaven, is Jesus himself. So when Mary and Martha are there believing in Jesus, telling, yes, we know. Then Jesus tells them again, no, 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 no. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Well, that's what I'm telling you right now. You are going to see the glory, and you're going to see the glory right now. And that was one of the reasons why Jesus didn't show up when he should have. Jesus said, you know, this is not for the dead of Lazarus. This is going to be for the glory of God and for the glory of the Son of God, me. And he goes, and Mary and Martha's eyes started to open and open. And what is Jesus talking about? Their heart starts pumping like he's just going to burst out of their chest. And then Jesus asks a question, where do you lay him down? And I don't know if Mary or Martha started thinking, but if I would have been Mary and Martha, I would have, what is he gonna do? Why does he want to know where is Lazarus laid? My God, it's been 4 days. What is he gonna do? Where is he? Let me show you. And he and then they start walking all the way to the cemetery to see where Lazarus was laid. Do you know where Lazarus was? Do you know? You don't know the story. Yeah, he was dead. He was dead. He was stinking. It was 4 days already. And they the whole bunch of people saw Jesus and Martha and Mary walk towards the tomb and said, oh, they're going to go and grieve over there at the tomb. Let's go. So the whole multitude of people that was there, all over the place, from Jerusalem, from Bethany, from Jericho, I don't know, from every, all, Lazarus was well known. And her family, and his family too. So everybody goes right there to the cemetery. And then Jesus said the most odd thing ever. What would you say if I am ministering to your family because your family has recently had a death? And instead of praying for the whole family to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, I tell you, hey, open the casket. You know, what would you say? And it's been 4 days. And it's been 4 days. It would have been weird, right? Well, that's exactly what happened. And the first reaction of Martha and Mary's was what? You know, they stopped crying. That right there. There's no more crying. That was it. What? What are you saying? You want me to open the tomb? Yes, that's what I'm asking. Remove the rock. Oh, God. No more tears at all. You would... Lord, you know, I'm sorry to break it to you, but he's been dead for 4 days. And if you know anything about chemistry, you know what happened with somebody that has been dead for 4 days in the tomb? You know, we put a lot of spices in him, but you know what happened when you combine a really nice spice with a stinky smell? You know what happened? It's worse. So they know that at the moment that they will remove that stone, what's going to be bad. Real bad. And I guess, with very compassionate eyes, Jesus was just looking into Mary and Martha's eyes, and he was reminding them, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that if you believe in me, what, Jesse? You would see the glory of God? Do you want to see the glory of God? If you would have to relate to this story, what person in this story would you relate to? Martha? Mary? Jesus? Maybe the Pharisees? Maybe you will relate to all of them except one. Me? Lazarus? No. Stinky? Dead? 4 days? No. But you know what? I am sorry to break it to you, but that's who you are. You are so dead that you cannot even move. You are so dead that you cannot even warm the bench where you're sitting right now. You are so dead that you cannot worship. You are so dead, we already make spiritual arrangements for your funeral. You are so dead that we have your tomb. You are so dead that you're stinking, and it's stinking is so bad because you're being dead for 4 days. Are you dead? Are we dead? Is your church dead if you're a guest here in Lighthouse today? Is our church dead, dear members of our church? It is or isn't? I'm smelling something. The pizza? What I want you to realize, to wake up to, is this. That there are things in your life that are keeping you dead. That big rock that was in the tomb of Lazarus was keeping me dead right there inside for 4 days. Inside there. That rock would not allow him to get out. He was dead. He was dead. That's why the rock was there. What rock is in front of you that is keeping you dead? Maybe it's your job. Your job is this big rock that is spiritually killing you. It's not letting you come out when Jesus calls. Your husband, your wife, maybe your kids are the big rock that are killing you spiritually. Maybe the love for money. Maybe a sin that you're covering inside of you deep down into your heart. We all have that stone, that big old stone that is in our tomb. And we're so dead and we're so stinky. But guess what? What did Jesus say? Remove it. If Jesus will come and knock on your door today, right now, would you let him in? Yes? Remember, you're dead and you've been stinking for 4 days. Would you let him in? You have to. There is no other way. But Jesus is saying, move the rock. Move the rock. Did he move it himself? No, he sent what? He sent me. He sent the men that were around him to move the rock. God is going to put people around you that is going to help you move that rock. Don't push them away. You know what? Maybe this sermon today is moving the rock so Jesus can do whatever he's going to do, whatever he needs to do. He is pushing. He has people around you. Your mom is praying for you like crazy. All right? I seen mothers pray. Maybe your friends are praying for you. Maybe somebody is just out of his mind interceding for you in order for you to be saved. To you get out of the stingy of mediocrity and how did Revelation puts it in the Laodicean church? Lukewarm. So, what happened? There's people, you know, sometimes rocks are huge, especially that one. We have huge rocks that we think will never be moved. But you know what? There is nothing impossible for Christ. Nothing! Do you believe that? What is impossible for Jesus? Nothing. There's nothing impossible for him. So there is no rock so big, there is no tomb so deep that he cannot call you from. That he cannot move. He can do it. He can do it in an instant. But he uses people around you to achieve that. So, when people is calling you, when people is telling you, hey, come, worship, come with us, church, pray, read your Bible, some rock is being moved by somebody. So when the rock is removed, everybody went, how?
Oh my God!
You know why? Because Lazarus was dead. He was dead for 4 days. But the rock was removed. Jesus are with us. That's a partnership, a constant partnership between you and Christ, where you are in his hands, an awesome instrument for salvation to others. Would you be able to say, Lazarus, come out? Would you dare? Could you? Can a human being say those words? Lazarus, come out? Can he? Yes or no? Answer me. Yes or no? Yes! Yes! What human being did it besides Jesus? Paul did it. Who else? Elias did it. So, can you do it? in Jesus' name, because it's never upon us. But anyway, Jesus, the human being, was right there standing with the power of God. The rod was removed, and Jesus said, "Lazarus, you that are inside there, dead for 4 days, stinking Lazarus, come out." And what happened to Lazarus? And he just came out. Was he free when God called him out? No, he still had the clothes of death around him. And then Jesus, what did Jesus do? Call another bunch of people and tell them, release them. You know, sometimes when you get into a revival, you know that Jesus has called you from the dead. You know that you're alive. You know that the life of Christ is just inside of you. You're alive. You're jumping up and down. You know that Jesus Christ has saved you. Your mind is changed. Your heart is changed. Your soul is changed. And sometimes your body is changed. You know that something happened. And God has just resurrected you from the dead. From inside the tomb. He removed the rock. But you still what? You still have a huge amount of baggage on you. Guilt. Memories. People. But he again sends people around you to take all that guilt and all that baggage out in order for you to be free. So who are you? Are you Lazarus? I've been Lazarus for a while. And I know that there are parts in your life that are still Lazarus. They're still dead in the tomb, stinking, covered with all this baggage. But you know what is today? You know what is today? You know what is today? Today is free day. Today is the day where you can let every single thing that is holding you down into the tomb, put it in God's hand so you can be free. You can. You can. And I want us to do an exercise. And Ruben, I want us to do an exercise. I want for each one of you to receive a card. If you have a pen, you don't have a pen, don't worry, he has some little pens too. Sir, can you help him pass around? Oh, okay, there you go. So what you want to do when you receive that little paper, I want you to put there, what is your rock? What is the rock that is keeping you inside? All right? What is the rock that is keeping you inside? And I want you to be, you don't have to give it to me, but I want you to be very specific. Let me ask you, the death of Lazarus, was it specific? Yes, he was dead. He was stinking. All right? So, please, put right there in your paper. And if you really don't know, ask God to show it to you. What is my rock? What is keeping me inside completely in the tomb? All right? Close your eyes. Close your eyes and ask God. God, reveal to me today, what is the rock that you need to remove in order for me to hear your voice? Write it down. What is the rock? Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's your, I am too good to be true. You know? I am so cute that my face hurts. Maybe that's right there in your vanity is what's stopping you from hearing God's voice so you can revive. Maybe the big rock is your job. Or you like expensive things and you work every single day and you don't stop. Maybe it's a sin that is in your heart that is keeping you dead. What is it? Let me tell you, I know that God is talking to you right now. I know it. And the fact that you don't want to write it doesn't mean that he's not talking to you, because he is. I know that for a fact. He is talking to you today. And he wants for you to be free. He wants you to be free from whatever is holding you in. So write it down. I know you know. No se hagan. So write it down. What is holding you dead? The next thing that I want you to do in that paper is I want you to write this phrase. Jesus Christ, take this rock away. Just that little phrase. Jesus Christ, take that this rock away. And you know what's gonna do next? He's gonna resurrect you. Something happened Saturday afternoon. Actually, something happened since Saturday morning, last Sabbath. I believe that the power of God showed up Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon last week. And it was so powerful, maybe you can tell me that I'm nuts or crazy or whatever, so powerful that would put people on the floor crying. And something broke in those 15, 20 people that were in one way on Saturday afternoon. And I know that what broke was a prison, was something just broke inside people's heart. And people were transformed Saturday afternoon. Because they worshiped with all their heart, because they worshiped with not caring who was on the right or on the left, because they let themselves go. The rocks were removed, God called them, and they resurrected.